Okay. Okay, it's 5 after, so I'm going to call the meeting to order. I want to start off by thanking Sony and Lloyd and Maya Daniels for joining us for this to discuss the historic UTLA resolution on Palestinian solidarity. There's been worldwide work on Palestinian solidarity for about 15 years, but they've, as far as I can tell, an effort in Seattle and this effort by UTLA are the first ones by unions, by K-12 public school unions. So I really welcome this. I'm gonna have Marcy introduce you people, but a few things first. Since there's a bunch of people in the call, please try to keep yourself muted if you're not speaking. I don't expect to be bombed out, but we've been bombed once about a year ago. Basically, this has been broadcast pretty widely. So if we're bombed, what we're going to do is everyone shut off the their disconnect, and in 5 minutes, re-log back in. So one thing I'm going to do before I turn the floor over to Marcy is I want to remind people, oops, I went the wrong way. I want to remind people of what's upcoming. Next week, we have Maurice Jacobson next Monday night on his film, We All Live in Gaza. 2 weeks beyond that, we're going to screen The Present, which was an Academy Award contender. Plus, we've got a video message from the filmmaker. 2 weeks beyond that, on Sunday, we have Sammy Smuha, who's a sociologist, retired sociologist from Tel Aviv. And he's going to talk, excuse me, Dick?
Haifa University.
Haifa. Okay, he's from Haifa. Sure. And he's going to talk about Palestinian and Jewish identity in Israel. One last thing, we donate to the organization of each of our Zoom speakers. And so that means our bank account is getting down a little bit. So I want to just remind people that if they choose to donate, if they choose to give dues, we'll accept them. The easiest way is to send them to me as banker through PayPal or Venmo at my basic email account. Okay, and so with that, I'm going to turn the floor over to Marcy, who will introduce our speakers.
Thank you very much, Jeff Warner, Dick Plackin, LA Jews for Peace. I'm very proud to introduce tonight the two speakers, fellow teachers with the Los Angeles Unified School District. But first, maybe we should just take a look at these resolutions so we know what we're talking about here. So what happened was that, you know, UTLA has several different areas that it covers, represents about 35,000 teachers, and they have area meetings every month. And at these area meetings, different resolutions were introduced, there you go, that were critical of Israel. And as you can see, the one of them calls for taxpayer dollars not to go to Israel and incessant warfare, but to go for healthcare, to schools, and expresses solidarity with the Palestine Federation of Trade Union and with Palestinians in general in opposition to the Israeli occupation and in support of the right of Palestinian return. The other resolution is a resolution that I believe Maya introduced in the harbor. And this one also expresses solidarity with the Palestinian people, also calls for an end to the bombardment of Gaza, stopping the evictions from Sheikh Jarrah, But it goes beyond that to support the international campaign for the boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel for its apartheid policies. At this point, I would like to introduce our speakers tonight. So Maya Daniels teaches English and government at San Pedro High School. She grew up on the Flathead Indian Reservation in western Montana, despite not being of tribal descent. At 15, she left the reservation to finish high school in Berkeley, California, where I went to college. She graduated with a degree from Malcolm Lester College in St. Paul, Minnesota. She had a degree in creative writing. She's a lifelong learner. She's also got a master's degree in urban education from Loyola Marymount. She's currently pursuing a degree in labor studies. So we welcome Maya. Also, I'm very proud to introduce Sonny Lloyd, who I worked with, taught with at Venice High School. Sonny was an outstanding teacher and UTLA chapter chair. He's taught at Venice High School for 14 years. Two of those years, he has been chapter chair. 5 years, he was the co-chair of United Teachers of Los Angeles. At Venice High School, Sonny teaches advanced placement, U.S. government and politics, principles of American democracy and economics, U.S. history. He's also very active outside of classroom, as we know, with chairing the union, also co-sponsoring the Black Student Union. So welcome, Sonny and Maya.
Sonny, you want to speak first?
Sonny, you're muted.
Is that a yes or a no?
Yes. I know you were just eating dinner, so I can go first.
Perfect. Thank you.
You know, I'm sure you'll fill in anything that I miss. So first of all, thanks for having this event. I looked at your webpage, and I want to commend this organization here for the work that you've been doing over the last few years. It's very important work, and it really helps to see all the activity you've been doing over the past few years. And it's just greatly needed because, you know, my analysis is that we do live in an imperialist state, and we need pushback against that. And you guys are really, you know, part of the tip of the spear on that. And, you know, that needs to grow in this country until we really are, you know, creating a equal system, you know, democracy, equality for all. So, you know, and hopefully we can join forces. So, you know, the reason why, you know, I'm not really an expert in this, you know, in foreign policy, you know, teaching, sometimes you get to the real basics of stuff and you do it over and over again and you miss out on the real knowledge that's out there. Some of you could probably relate as teachers, you're always, you're limited, right? But I like to stay active so I can, you know, be informed and be involved. And that's what kind of keeps me going outside of teaching. So, you know, this motion, I'm not like the expert on the motion. And I'll just tell you, when it was a few days before the area meetings, I was sent the motion, and that's kind of how it works. Sometimes there's, you know, there's activists within the union, and somebody writes a really good motion, and they know there's 8 different areas, and, you know, they want to push it out there to all the areas to get like a, you know, broad-based support. And, you know, I'm known as somebody who speaks on things, and especially progressive matters. So somebody sent me the motion. I read it over. I said, yeah, this makes sense. You know, we do need to stand with the Palestinian people. And so I just want to be clear. I didn't write the motion, but I fully supported it. And, you know, on May 19th, I brought the motion in the West area here in LA. And Kelly, who's on the call, she co-sponsored it. So you need a co-sponsor with the motion, a UTLA member. And, you know, we read the motion, and it actually there was a limited debate. It did not pass. It kind of, it fell to this whole narrative that it's too complicated for teachers to understand. And, you know, we just shouldn't, you know, really get involved in things that we don't know about, which is, you know, I feel really condescending to teachers who have been studying social studies, history for a long time. But at any rate, it had some powerful speakers against in the West. It didn't pass there, and it did pass though in five different areas of the city. So the very next day, and Maya can kind of speak to a little bit more of the particulars of the motion, and we'll have a Q&A, because the motion is still alive. It's moving through the union. But I did want to provide a little more context of how we handled it at Venice High School. So the very next day, I brought the motion to our chapter meeting. Every week, we have a meeting of teachers. Like, you see the teachers behind me here. We usually meet in person, but we met on Zoom the very next day, May 20th. And I put the motion on the screen. We agendized it. And we talked about it. This is something that our brothers and sisters are talking about around the city. It's a popular motion. Hundreds of teachers supported it last night. Well, how do we want to respond as a chapter, as Venice High School? Do we want to vote on the motion as a chapter, or do we want to make a statement? And I could say there was a broad support in the Zoom for making a statement or voting on the motion, but there were some naysayers who said we need to as a faculty, we need to be more informed about this complicated matter. So Kelly gave the idea of having a teach-in. So the teachers putting together resources and meeting to discuss the motion and you know, getting into the history that we, you know, can come to common ground on. And, you know, that was decided on. And the very next day, I got pretty much some hate email from the community, which means somebody in our chapter leaked the ongoings of our meeting. And so these were, you know, very nasty letters accusing UTLA of being in bed with Hamas and, you know, basically that we're using our position to, you know, take a pro-Palestinian stance as a school, and that's going to make Jewish kids unsafe. And there's, you know, already been attacks against Jewish people in LA. So we, you know, I took those in, thought about them, but, you know, what can you do, right? I started to formulate some responses, but I didn't respond right away because it was pretty heavy stuff. And it wasn't like they wanted to dialogue with me. It was just like, we don't like you and you need to stop all of this. It was gonna be very hard to dialogue with these people. But I did end up replying to one of the persons who gave me their name. The other person wrote an anonymous email, which I didn't feel justified a reply, if you're not gonna say who you are. So, the next week, admin called me in and shared with me five letters that community members had written about me, concerned about basically me and other teachers and UTLA being anti-Semitic and creating an unsafe environment for Jewish teachers and Jewish students. But it was an informal meeting. And, you know, they just advised me to put a disclaimer on my social media, because one of the complaints was I made social media posts that were critical of Israel and Zionism. So after that, there were some hit pieces written about me, Paul Singer's Free Beacon Press and Ben Shapiro's Daily Wire. They both came out on June 4th with hit pieces on me saying, you know, California teacher is an anti-Semite. And, you know, those are pretty powerful people in the media landscape and the popular culture. Anyway, on the right wing, Paul Singer is a billionaire hedge fund manager. He funds the occupation. Ben Shapiro has said some very, very racist things against Palestinians and Arab people. He once called for the complete expulsion of all the Palestinians from the West Bank. So to have those two people come out against me, I figured, you know, I'm kind of proud of it, because, you know, I wouldn't want those people on my side. So in the context of that, my personal Facebook was filled up with a lot of a lot of hateful messages. People say, we're going to get you fired. You know, Steve Zimmer, do you want, not Zimmer, I'm sorry, Melvoin. Zimmer was the guy. They'll say, Melvoin, do you want to be reelected? Do you want to be reelected? You need to take care of Sonny Lloyd and fire him. So there's a lot of stuff like that on my Facebook. I ended up deleting it because I don't know. I just got tired of reading it. And I kind of wish I didn't delete it just to keep my statement out there and keep a record of these people making these threats and stuff. So there was also a UTLA Uncensored has a Instagram account where they posted a picture of me calling me a groomer and saying I groom students for radical politics, basically. But Palestine Legal was able to help me out in getting that taken down. And on the support side of things, there's been a lot of support. Code Pink, your group here, Jewish Voice, LA Jews for Peace, California Scholars for Academic Freedom, Marcy, some parents, community members have been writing letters, you know, to back up the record that, you know, we are being responsible educators and community leaders at during this time. And it's important that there's people like us. So that's kind of the whole context of it. And I'm not saying woe is me. I took all this heat. I kind of expected it. But I do realize, you know, when Marcy reached out to speak, that it's important that people like me and Maya, who are under attack, that we do get out there and we don't crawl away from this motion and try to act like it never happened. I know there has been people within UTLA saying, well, we need to redraw, we need to repeal these motions and just forget about it and not take a stand, and we're creating too much controversy. But I don't think that's the way to deal with it, because the situation is not going anywhere, you know. So I've talked quite a bit, and, you know, I can definitely take questions. I do know that the motion, September 22nd is our next House of Reps meeting. And that's when the motion, you know, should be voted on. I say the motion, there's two different motions which are slightly different. Michael may be able to speak a little bit more in terms of how they're going to handle it. My sense is they're going to probably decide, okay, on one of the motions and have a debate and vote on that. But they're not going to take like two similar motions and have two debates and two votes on motions that are essentially saying the same thing. So that's what might happen there. I do want to say this too. The opposition to the motion is very organized. Their plan is to contact everybody on the House of Reps and, you know, convince them to vote no on this motion. You know, I've basically, you know, I've heard that is going on. There's a Google form out there where they're collecting names of UTLA members opposed to the motion. And so they're organized against this passing. But I do know also, I just read that the NEA, the National Educators Association, which is our parent union on the national level, they recently just passed a very similar motion in support of Palestine. So we know San Francisco passed a motion, Seattle passed a motion. And so what's LA going to look like, you know, being behind the ball, being reactionary on this issue? So hopefully there's some of us who are trying to organize the supporters. We have there's a UTLA Facebook page, UTLA for Palestine, that's out there. We're posting educational articles. And I did want to share too what we came up with as teachers for our teach-in. I'm just going to put this in the chat. And these are the resources we compiled with just the teachers at Venice High School. It's really amazing, because a lot of colleagues say, oh yeah, I teach this about it, I teach that. And we put some questions to frame the teach-in. And we did end up having our teach-in, which wasn't very well attended, because there was a lot of pushback pushback against even us allowing us to meet. That was kind of the community letters were like, you can't allow your teachers to meet, you know, through their work organization to discuss this because they're creating some type of hostile environment. But we had to teach in anyway, but these are our resources. And this has been carrying me really throughout the summer, just reading all of these articles and YouTube posts. I will mention too, the LA Times, Howard Bloom, actually, I think did a fair job presenting what I had to say about it. He reached out to me for a statement on the resolution, on the motion, and I gave him a statement, and he printed it up pretty much how I said it. And basically it was my philosophy that labor unions, you know, they have to be anti-imperialist, right? That they need to be the anchor of the anti-imperialist movement, and they need to practice internationalism, which is linking the workers around the world for justice and democracy. And I think he did a pretty good job of showing that, you know, UTLA is not targeting a demographic of people, that they're targeting colonization, they're targeting imperialism. And so that, to me, that was LA Times did a pretty good job. But on the same day, those hit pieces came out against me, and they have it all worked up now. When you Google my name and Google, you know, the hit pieces are like pretty high up there. So I'm working on my own op-ed, my own blog to kind of counter that. That's what's been keeping me busy over the summer. And I am calling for some type of anti-imperialist united front in Los Angeles to, you know, people can work together on defeating the worst parts of our imperialist state. So if you guys have any questions for me, I know I probably left some things out, but or Maya can go.
Before Maya comes on, Marcy, maybe you can call on Dorothy Reich, who's had her hand up for a fair amount of time.
Okay, sure. I just want to thank Sony. That was really beautiful. Loved everything you said. And I really do want to help organize to get more people out there to support you on the 22nd or whenever the vote may be. At this point, I want to introduce Dorothy Reich. She's the chair of Progressive Democrats of the Santa Monica Mountains and a longtime friend. Dorothy.
Dorothy. So I just wanted to say how much I admire what you're doing, Sony. And I know exactly how you feel because it happened to me. I sent an email privately to my, I have a large email list, and someone sent it to Breitbart. And I almost lost my position at the Democratic Party. It was really something. But the upside is that one of the guys who wrote me a nasty, nasty email, we talked and we found out that we have everything in common except for Palestine and Israel. So now we're on each other's email list. And the other thing is that I send out articles about Palestine all the time now. And when I used to do this years ago, I would get so much pushback and I would get responses telling me to do it. And now everybody just accepts it. There's no negativity about it. And just today, I talked to a friend who had been supporting Israel. She wasn't a huge fan, but she was supporting, saying that you can see both sides. And now she just told me that after talking to me a couple of times, she doesn't believe there are two sides anymore. She believes that the Palestinians are right and they need to have the right of return and they shouldn't be thrown out of their homes. So it's just it's a long journey, but we're going to win. And thank you for doing this. I wish I was still a teacher so I could sign. I was on a house of reps myself. That's a whole nother story. So keep up the good work. Don't get discouraged because there are more people supporting you than opposing you. It's just the opposition is much more organized and vocal.
Thank you. And that's true. I realized that the motions came up. They passed in 5 of the 8 areas. So there's definitely broad-based support.
We're winning.
Yeah. Dick or Paul? Yeah.
Okay. Am I muted or am I okay? Okay, I'm okay. Two things. Those of us who have been in this dealing with these issues for a long time are very aware of what in Hebrew is called haspara, which means like propaganda or spin or and so forth. So it takes a classic pattern. They're more desperate, so a lot of it is personal intimidation. And then there's a lot of character assassination. So one of the questions I have is, did anybody of all these critics and all these hit pieces like Nicholas Goldberg in the LA Times, did any of them ever actually try to rebut the motion, or was it all just these going on the offense against you?
That's a good question. On the actual hit pieces, I don't think I'm kind of reading through my notes right now about them, and I don't think they got very much to the motion. No, it was more about me. Yeah.
I think that that gives you a thing you could say, you know, it's revealing that they don't want to rebut the motion. I mean, like the United Nations reports on apartheid and the Israeli group B'Tselem has a big study on apartheid, and Human Rights Watch does. They will never actually, they can't rebut the studies, they can't rebut the motions, so they go for character assassination. So I think you can use that to your advantage. The other thing is, you'll be in a stronger position, I think, if you can make it clear that there, you don't simply, you aren't, quote, anti-Israel per se, that you have a lot of support among progressive Israelis. I mean, there is the B'Tselem group, which says Israel has become an apartheid state. And there's many progressive groups in Israel who would probably agree with almost everything you say. Plus the two groups here in LA, LA Jews for Peace and Jewish Voice for Peace, and all of their national counterparts. There's even a group that's kind of in the middle, J Street, that's very critical of the Israeli government at this point. So you have a lot of arguments that I think you can muster when you get down to your debate in the House of Delegates or wherever it is.
Okay, great. That really helps.
Yeah.
It really does. Because the framing of this, I noticed, you gotta be very skilled and coming
there's
up with that.
Many progressive Israelis. There's even there's a website that has people who would agree with you who are all Hebrew speaking Israelis called Plus 972 Magazine.
Right.
And the daily newspaper in Israel that has wonderful columnists and reporters called Haaretz, which reports every day. They have great stories on the occupation in the West Bank and and Gaza and the situation of Palestinians who are Israeli citizens. So you have a lot of arguments you can call on, and we can help you identify some of those sources if you want.
Yeah,
we know them all.
And then there's S.T. Chandler, who is heads up JVP LA, and she has a program on KPFK, Middle East in Focus. I hope you could be interviewed by her on that program, and that would get this issue out in the public.
What's her name?
S.T. Chandler. Yeah. I could send you her email, S-T-E-S-T-E-E and then Chandler.
Okay.
I think we ought to get Maya in.
Yes. Yes, as I said earlier, I don't know how many people were on the, then Maya teaches English and government at San Pedro High School. Good to have you with us, Maya.
Thank you so much, everyone. I just want to say, first of all, just a huge thank you to all the work that you all have done. I vocally shrieked when we got that letter from Medium and that came into my inbox because it was so necessary to hear something other than the constant vitriol that we were getting, and just had a really different tone and felt like, yes, this is what we've needed. And then also for the opportunity to speak, because as has been already surfaced in this meeting, it was funny that in, 6 to 8 weeks of daily messages, barrages, no one asked me why I introduced the motion, right? There were assumption after assumption after assumption. You hate Jews, you're a terrorist, this, that, you're a radical Palestinian sympathizer, et cetera. Just ask me, right? Just ask me why I brought the motion. And so I felt like that was really revealing. And then thanks to Sony for asking me to come through too. And one of the things I've learned in this is that we are most at risk and most exposed when we're alone. And unfortunately, this has been such a charged issue for folks that we have seen a lot of union members who agree with us privately will kind of scuttle like cockroaches when the light turns on, when the heat comes. And I think that's really where the danger is, because you know, it's even legal protections. If there's more than one of us working together, then we're legally protected, and we know we are well within our rights. But rights are only as good as you use them, right? You use your rights or you lose them. So just really grateful to Sony for asking me to come and speak a little bit. I did grow up on an Indian reservation. I am non-tribal. My mom's Filipino. My dad is a white boy from Detroit. But growing up there for the first 15 years of my life, I feel intimately familiar with what settler colonialism looks like in this country, which is a very, very rare glimpse that most people do not get to witness firsthand. And I also recognize that colonization is not a one-time event. It did not happen. It is not over. It is ongoing, even within the United States of America. And that is the reality that I grew up in, is one of active occupation and active colonization, and then leaving and seeing that, oh, it's just that folks don't know, right? And ignorance is so powerful and it is so toxic. And it has left folks that I grew up with to continue to suffer and struggle. Like Sony, this motion was not written by me. And so I think that's also telling that he and I were like, all right, we'll be the big mouse here. But there are many, many folks involved that were not necessarily willing to put their name and face to it. I did agree to bring it because I read it and felt very strongly about it. And so I introduced it in Harbor area. We did not have anyone speak in opposition, I think in large part because one of our allies brought a Palestinian youth organizer who spoke on the subject. The motion passed by 78%. I kind of forgot about it for a couple days until the internet storm erupted. I felt like it was really important to put my name on it, in part because I know I have privileges that protect me. I have a really strong community, strong union chapter, strong principal, family that'll take me in. And so, you know, I was wanted to be in front of it and just say I introduced it, and yeah, that's that's what I did. End of story. Unfortunately, it was not the end of the story. So there was a lot of, much like Sony, you know, just messages and just kind of this constant 8 weeks of daily, hourly notifications. And then it finally culminated in someone downloading the entire post that was in the union group of almost 900 social media comments. And she sent it to my principal and my principal's boss and my principal's boss's boss, as well as three rabbis who I assume that she Googled because she lives 50 miles away. And that was such a brooch of union trust and, you know, just kind of, if anything, I was a little proud because I was kind of proud of a lot of the things I said. and I was glad in some ways she gave the full context, but she really threw so many union members under the bus in the sense that they were also on there. She took that from an internal page without their permissions, sent it to administrators. And if anyone is familiar with union politics, you never, ever, ever violate your fellow union members' trust to the boss, right? Like that's like the worst thing. You will literally push them in front of a bus before you do that. And so that I think actually got a lot of folks to recognize that like this has gone too far. And some of the people who were really upset with me kind of said, you know, this is, that's enough. And since then it's calmed down a little bit. I'm a newer union member. I was unaware that we had fought this before. I was also in my little progressive bubble, very unaware of how charged this is.
I have a couple of friends who are involved in the JVP chapter in Seattle, and I'm just so grateful to them for kind of coaching me and mentoring through me through this and helping me get the right sources. What I've also noticed is that there's a deep intersection between this issue and the battle that UTLA educators have been fighting for ethnic studies for the past, I don't even want to know. And those battle scars are there and they're not being acknowledged or talked about. And with that, I think that, so that's looking backwards, but if we look forwards towards some of these critical race theory and CRT battles that other states are fighting, this is the same issue. It's saying that we cannot talk about other people like human beings. And that is so troubling to hear as an educator, that we cannot even acknowledge the humanity of others within our classrooms and our curriculum. And so that's what's really got me scared, is less this individual motion and more seeing this as part of a movement, that this is really about suppression, this is about repression, this is about intimidation, more than it is about standing up for any specific person or identity. It's all part of this wave. I'm kind of calling it the second, third, fourth Red Scare. The other thing that came up as I was reading all these comments and eliciting all these reactions, I felt very sad because it is clear to me that folks are dealing with a lot of trauma. And a Jewish friend came to visit me during this whole thing and told me that when Israel comes up in his family, his aunt and his mom leave the room. They just leave. They just get up and walk out. And so I recognize that this struck a nerve that I am not privy to, and that to me, a lot of this has been best understood through a framework of trauma and trauma resilience and the need to heal, that folks, in my view, in my perspective, from what I've soaked up, that people need to heal from a lot of generational and historical trauma around this. And this is deeply connected for me with fights we've had in the union with the police and the feeling that our safety and security can only come through the oppression of others, that we are only safe as long as others are being kept out through fences, kept in cages, kept in segregated areas. And that I think is just, I think it's a very, you know, it's something a lot of people can sympathize with, but I don't think it speaks to our best nature. And I don't think it's true, right? I think that even in this country, we have the highest incarceration rate in the world, and yet we have never felt less safe or secure in our homes than in our communities. And so I kind of saw that common thread. For me now, this is about union democracy. If this is not a union issue, then union members need to decide. I was asked to retract the motion. I said I wouldn't do that because my union members voted on it. And to me, that would be selling out 78% of the members in my area. I do think members should decide. I think there is a fear that this will pass. I think there is a fear that the culture is changing. My school board member called me about it. Sorry, my toddler's loose. My school board member called me, and essentially what I told them is that, you know, the larger culture is changing. And I think a lot of that comes from Americans starting to reckon with our own history of settler colonialism, starting to look at imperialism in a different light, starting to look at how much money are we giving to the military while we are in this nation are really struggling and really suffering, especially on the tail end of a pandemic. So I think that all of these things are deeply connected. And to go back to what Dick was saying earlier, in terms of, you know, folks focusing on me or Sony and we're unfit to teach and this and that and things we've never said, that really, when we push the issue and when we push the motion, there is a fundamental contradiction that is coming to light, that Israel cannot be both an inclusive democracy and an exclusive ethnostate. That those two cannot coexist. And I think it's that knowledge that is really hurting people. And I think what people are clinging to is largely what Israel has been for them and for their families in the past, and not looking at this contradiction, which is sharpening and surfacing. So it's been a tremendous learning experience. I will say that, you know, it's been painful. It's not something I would have necessarily picked to do with my summer at the tail end of a pandemic. But I also wanted to share in the chat this Instagram post from an actress that I really respect, actor I really respect. Someone's criticizing them for their stances on Israel and saying you could lose your career. And they're essentially saying, if I lose my career, it's not the career for me. And that's kind of encompasses where I am right now, is that I recognize this comes with enormous risks. I've seen what it has done to other union members in the past. But again, if the only way to ensure that one identity of students is safe is to dehumanize another identities of other students, I won't do that. That's not part of why I signed up to be a teacher or a union member. So that's what's kind of keeping me grounded in this. Thank you.
Thank you, Maya. That was really fantastic. I loved all those connections that you made. Appreciate it. Back to you, Jeff.
Okay, well, Shaquille has his hand up, I think. And Shaquille, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. No, it wasn't for the question, but my deepest respect and appreciation to both Sony and Maya for your principled courage, and know that you are not alone. I think all of us on this call, and there are many hundreds and thousands out there who may not know you personally, but are in deep admiration, and I'm looking forward to find ways personally and also on behalf of American Muslims for Palestine to support you all in any which way that we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Shaquille. And for Maya and Lloyd, that was Shaquille Syed, who is the director of the American Muslims for Palestine here in LA. And that's another resource that Dick didn't mention that you have. I saw Keila, is that how you pronounce your name? K-E-L-I?
Kelly. Kelly.
Kelly. Kelly, I think your hand was up. Is it?
No, my hand wasn't up.
Okay. Well, Uri's hand is up and Uri is muted. So Uri, you take the floor.
Hi. Thank you very much, Sonny. And thank you very much, Maya. I'm not sure that when you started, you know how much courage it takes. You stepped into something that I don't think that you even in your wildest dream. So first of all, Sonny, being called anti-Semite, word is a badge of honor. You belong to a very big group. You're not unique. There's a whole stadium full of people who've been called anti-Semite. And in case you're Jewish, they call you a self-hating Jew. So choose whichever works for you. But I'm basically impressed by the fact that a trade union is willing to jump into a political issue like this. So kudos to you. And what you said, Maya, about the conflict between Jewish and democratic, the state of Israel was born with that. It's been with that conflict since 1948. And somehow the Jews think that they're smarter than anybody else and they can actually make this work. Jewish and democratic. How? You see some of the results, but this is my opinion and not my only opinion. I'm an Israeli. I've been living in this country for a long time by choice. I don't like the Israeli politics from a long time ago. Kudos for you for jumping into. And you start to realize part of the power of the Jewish lobby in this country. And part of it is connected to the military, industrial complex. The United States is number one purveyor of guns and weapons. Israel is the top 10, in the top 10. So when you touch somebody's economic issue, watch out. And this is really, most people are not aware of that. The United States, the military-industrial complex of the United States actually makes sure that Israel is unharmed. because they have very deep economic interest in that thing. Most people miss that connection. It's not about the ideology. It's about money. The most important thing I learned when I came to this country, somebody explained to me, I asked him about what does this country run about? He says, you see what it says here? In God we trust. This is our God. We trust him. And you have to interpret it because it comes to the military industrial complex. Israel is a very important cog in that wheel. Just to remind you, when the United States Congress didn't let Reagan sell arms or help the Sandinista Nicaragua, they went to the other contractor, Israel, and said, okay, you sell our arms to Iran, give us the money, we can support the Sandinista. Mm-hmm. So in other words, when you follow this politics, always follow the money. It's a very important connection above everything else. So this is kind of like a few tips for somebody who's been in the fight much longer than you've been alive. But kudos to you, I respect you, and I'm impressed by your courage. So thank you for that.
Another question? Let me just say to Sony and Maya that LA Jews for Peace would be, is there if we can give you direct help in these various battles. And if there's no question, I will ask.
I have a question.
Okay, Dick.
This is when you get down to the debating the motion. I mean, I already said you have to talk about the particulars and point out that all the personal attacks are in lieu of it. But, and by the way, this is an old tactic. It goes back to Roy Cohn when he was the advisor to Donald Trump. He said, you never admit to anything and you always attack back the people who are making accusations against you. But in terms of the actual arguments, you can decolonize in two very different ways. And I'm in a group, in addition to LA Jews for Peace, called the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions. And the guy who's the head of that group, Jeff Halper, just wrote a book about decolonization. And it's my understanding that one pattern of decolonization is Algeria. You basically say all the colonizers have to leave. So in this case, I don't think it would be viable because you'd have to deport about 7 or 8 million Jews, many of whom don't support the Israeli state and are victims of it. The other model is the anti-apartheid model of South Africa, which is basically saying everybody stays, but we're going to turn this into a democratic state. So it means you have to dismantle all of the racist and segregationist laws, and you have to figure out a way to have equal citizenship for everyone. So that usually takes the form of what's called a one-state solution. So it might sound like it's getting involved in the weeds, but I can tell you, we have lived in those weeds, people like Jeff and me and Marcy, for decades. So we know the weed patch pretty well. And you'll be on a stronger ground in terms of argument, in terms of defending the motion, if you can say what we want is a new state that will push back against colonization by making everybody equal citizenship for everybody. And you can, deal with economic issues on top of that, which is the weakness of South Africa. So that's my thoughts on how to, the next steps to take.
Great points.
Paul.
Yeah, and I noticed the opposition now is using this tactic of, we can't go there because it makes people uncomfortable, you know. Well, I say, hey, you know, this is about educating people. You get them out of their cozy little sphere and they learn about the world.
And I'm going to add, this argument of microaggressions is usually... if you ask for specifics, it usually comes down to a few kids who are coached on college campuses who say, when my teacher has talked about Palestine, it made me feel uncomfortable. And these people never come forth on their own. They're usually cultivated by these people like Singer or usually the Israeli consulate. And in Los Angeles, there's an Israeli consulate. So my guess is the Israeli consulate has probably spent a lot of time and effort orchestrating people, because you can see the pattern is to go to the top, to go to use not just high pressure tactics, but to go to principals and to go to school board members and stuff like that. That's their typical pattern. You work from the top down rather than from the bottom up. So I'd say the fingerprints of the Israeli consulate are on top of this one. And I'm going to reference one good article in the Gray Zone. Max Blumenthal wrote a great article on what is called mobs of anti-Semites. And he said, if you look at each one of these things, because Sony said, people said Jews in Los Angeles are upset because Jews have been attacked by anti-Semitic groups. It's largely a synthetic thing. And if you read Max Blumenthal's article, he dissects the incident that took place at the sushi restaurant in West Hollywood in the Jewelry District of New York. There was one in Toronto and one in London. They all took place within a day of each other. They all have Israeli consulates. And it's a wonderful debunking that Max Blumenthal did. So you should check it out at the Gray Zone. It's a website.
Max Blumenthal's
Dorothy.
Marcy Stack. I'm on my phone. I'm having a hard time.
Can anybody get a hold of Peter Beinart?
His articles are very good lately.
Well, I'm just wondering if he would endorse this resolution. I think that would be very
powerful. That's what I was going to ask. If there's a petition in support of the resolution that's either, I mean, I don't know, strategically framed so that, or maybe it's only for people in Los Angeles or Jews, anti-Zionist Jews. I don't know. But in terms of organizing to support this resolution, I was wondering if Sony and Maya Kelly had any thoughts about what else we need to do.
I think that it's largely, so to answer the question in the chat, no, it is not open for public comment. It's actually not open for all members either. It's very specifically for the House of Representatives members, which is the best and worst of democracy. And I think that's part of why this is so fearful for folks who are, you know, on the Zionist side of things, is because you could go either way. It's really 250 or whoever shows up, very ragtag group that debates and decides this. And so, you know, if you're pro-democracy, it's awesome. It's also a hot mess. So,
Maya. Are there any plans to call every chapter chair before this vote to have perhaps people like us calling them with you or something?
I think that would be helpful. I know there are some people, Sony's probably more in touch with folks who are organizing around this. I know there's been some organizing with the Palestinian Youth Movement. And, you know, but I'll be honest with you, from our leadership, we've seen a lot of like, I don't want to touch this. And I would definitely recommend that if people feel strongly, to reach out to those UTLA officers directly, because they have heard a lot and it has not been good. And I also know that that's been a huge part of this, is like the barrage is coming from this sense of outrage and there's very little validation. So honestly, like even the littlest things, like a friend sharing this, you know, in another state was just so heartening to me. So the more folks can be, at least this is my take, and then I'll pass it to Sony or Michael Guerin, who is my fellow UTLA member and seconded it, can maybe add things because they're both longtime members. But to me, a lot of this has taken place on social media and the internet. So the more visible and public you can be with that JVP letter, UTLA in general, because what we've seen is this is the perfect storm of anti-union forces and Zionist forces. And they're both, you know, both really, really strong, well-connected, got a lot of capital and power behind them. And they really joined together to, this is a great moment to take down UTLA. So just, you know, one, supporting UTLA, but two, supporting teachers, you know, having freedom of speech, being
able to engage in international politics, because if we're not doing that as teachers and modeling that for our kids, then, you know, we grow up with generations of people who are largely apathetic and uninvolved in democracy. And that's how we get to it.
Are there any Jewish teachers signing on to this?
There are on the Jewish Voice for Peace letter. Yes. What some of you surfaced around folks being called self-hating or not Jewish is something that I've seen. But that was probably my first red flag, that this is not about supporting Jewish UTLA members at all. Because then I watched how my Jewish friends who were UTLA members were treated when they supported the motion. And that was the first red flag for me, is that, whoa, this is not really about supporting Jewish members.
No. They only support Jewish members who are
very few. I think there's a lot of fear. But I'll pass it to Michael or Sony, because they might have more ideas on how folks can
need support. To get more Jewish teachers to sign on.
I mean, what this, it seems to me there's 10 weeks to the vote in September 22nd or something like that. And you guys got to organize a campaign to get these letters, asking, you know, Maya, asking the 16 or 18 people on this call to support you is good. We all support you. And maybe half the people in the call are not already UTLA. So these are 9 letters. You got to get it organized. And I would not rely on JVP, because JVP put out one notice to support you, and then they move on to something else. They don't have enough stick to itness, and that's what you guys need. I don't like to preach, because I'm not very good at this, but you got to have a 10-week plan, and you got to stick to it, and you can't let people forget. And I want to call at this point, I know Paul has his hand up, but I want to call him Bill Taxman, who's a longtime LA Jews for Peace member, but he normally is at the Federation and doesn't join us. So do you have anything to add, Bill?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you, Bill.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
We hear you, but we don't recognize you if you got a beard that you didn't use.
That's not true. My beard is much smaller than it used to be. I'm on the steering committee of UTLA Retired. And the reason I've been hesitating to talk is I just got on this call at 20 after. I had tremendous trouble putting in the code and all of that. It didn't recognize the password. It kept saying I had the wrong password when I used the word peace. At any rate, this motion came up at the steering committee of UTLA Retired. And of course, I was the only one who favored the motion. There was a motion on the floor of UTLA Retired to recommend to the House of Reps that they defeat this motion.
Oh my God.
And they only had one major point. They didn't argue any of the substance. Their major point was this is too disruptive for the union. And the word got right up to the top. Randy Weingarten wrote a letter, a lengthy letter with the most bizarre hypocrisy in it. She had just been to Israel. And the first person who spoke against me, the first thing they said was, "Have you been to Israel?" And I said, "No, I haven't. That's why I get all my sources are Jewish."
You're breaking up, Bill.
I read the English. I read Gideon Levy and Amira Haas. And I read those because from 93 to 97, she lived in Gaza. And she was on various kinds of humanitarian missions. And she lives in the West Bank right now. So I want to get my information from people who are on the ground there, not from the Israeli media or anything else. And I didn't disagree with any of the things they said about how it's going to disrupt the union. But I think the social justice aspect trumps all of that other stuff. So I ended up being the only vote against John Perez, who made the motion to recommend a no vote in the House of Reps. He was supported, I think the vote was something like 10-1. So that's what I've done. I took it on and I argued it very politely, and nobody really attacked me directly. They just stayed away from the substance and kept stressing the disruption that it would do to the union. That they said that they have hundreds of letters. They claim hundreds of letters saying that they would resign if the union passes this motion.
All right. That's the evidence of the Israeli consulate and the Jewish Federation behind their efforts.
If you want right now, Perry, well, I can go to the bottom.
Paul, Michael, you've got your hand up.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Michael, and I'm a rank and file teacher in the Harbor area. I seconded Maya's the motion that she brought. And Bill, what you were just saying, I think it really fits with. There's a real
hello. I'm on.
Michael.
So there's a real friction in our union about this progressive social justice motion making and policy making. And there's the whole like bread and butter idea that we're a service union that should be, helping members only in that regard. And I think when Bill's talking about the disruption part of it, I think that's tied into that. It's not just that it's disruptive, it's that it fits with this kind of social justice bent that a lot of people are having problems with, some teachers in our union, I should say, like some members. I'm a House of Reps member, and I just wanted to chime in to say that I know for sure that UTLA members, whether retired or not, can speak at a House of Reps meeting if they're not a member of the House of Reps, if they are either invited or a member asks permission for them to speak. So, as a House of Reps member that helped bring the motion, I would love to invite, now I'll find out for sure how that works, but Marcy or any of the other Bill, Bill, you're on House of Reps, right? I think I see you there, right?
Michael, I'm a member of the UTLA retired as well. Yeah.
So. Great. So I think that's one.
I am as well.
Yeah. So I think we could definitely benefit from having some action, some UTLA members of this group come in and talk, and then I can check to find out if I believe it's a lot trickier to have someone that's not a member speak to that body. But as far as the 10-week organizing plan, I think we have an uphill battle, and I appreciate all the help that you guys are giving us and strategy. And I haven't been under any kind of microscope like Maya and Sonny, and I feel a little guilty. I come in and I'm only at the meeting with the friendlies that are here to support us. But I just really appreciate everything that this group does. And I'm just really happy I was able to come today. So I'll find out and I'll try to get in touch and make sure that you guys are at that meeting when it happens.
Paul, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate that, we should really get this issue aired on KPFK, get progressives to support us. And, there are any Amy Goodman, there's certainly S.T. Chandler would be very supportive.
Melina Dula from Black Lives Matter has a show now on Monday morning. I'm sure she'll be supportive.
You'll do better to get on KPCC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with that.
I do think that the
Well, you just said, Dorothy, about the Black Lives Matter. You know, a lot of this is reminiscent of last summer when we fought an equally contentious motion around dismantling the school police department. And so part of why I've been okay through this is, you know, the sky is falling. This is going to rip apart the union. We did all that last summer, and then we won a pretty good agreement, all things like it was fine. But I think that that's point, because we went through that battle, and because, you know, there are so many educators in UTLA who want to do the right thing, but are just very unaware of what the right thing is. And because they cannot be assured on what the right thing is, and they don't want to hurt people's feelings, right? And people are really weaponizing their feelings right now. I think that's where you're getting a lot of people who don't want to touch it at all. But I think that the Black Lives Matter connection and the social justice connection is very strong, as long as people aren't afraid to approach it in those terms and talk about it as a social justice issue. Because really, you know, this is such a turning point for UTLA. And I'm a little bit, I'll just say, I know we have a lot of UTLA membership. I'm very discouraged that our union officers and union leaders who have just pumped us up for social justice are now saying, oh no, we didn't mean that. Are saying, okay, well, let's talk about social justice. Let's talk about Palestine. Let's talk about ethnic studies. Let's talk about,
you know,
settler colonialism.
There are a lot of Black teachers.
So I think that we need to be drawing out those connections, because right now folks are just so afraid to hurt or offend the very vocal Zionist Jewish teacher.
Do you know how to get in touch with Melina? I know how to get in touch with her.
I think that it could be done, but I think that as people are, you know, engaging in these different UTLA spaces, I think the larger question is, what is the purpose of a union, and really pushing this union towards social justice as a partisan, but as something that unions have always engaged in and are by their nature.
There's a show now on KPFK on Monday mornings at 7.
I think that would be really, really strong, just because, you know, I'm really just afraid that this is going to be the catalyst for a very reactionary backslide for us as a union, and that it will set a precedent that, oh no, we don't get to talk about issues because, like Sony was saying, they're too complex for us and we couldn't possibly understand.
You know, when I first joined UTLA years ago, one of the employees there, the people on the staff, brought a case of Coors to a union party. So that's what you're dealing with, UTLA. And Dawn Baer, who was in charge, this is how bad the salaries were when I was teaching, that he told the people, when you get arrested for hooking at you in Las Vegas, what number do you call? They all parroted back the UTLA number because there was no reciprocity between Nevada and California. So teachers could go and hook in Las Vegas. If they got busted, they did not get in trouble in LA. LA never found out about it. If you can do illegal things to earn extra money, you had to do it in Nevada. That's true. That's the first thing that happened. My first House of Reps meeting, that was the first thing that came up. I swear, I could tell you horror stories, but you can thank me for Wayne Johnson, is all I can tell you, who turned that union around. It was a mess. Total silence.
Are there more comments?
So Jeff, can I quickly ask a question?
Sure, Shatil.
Too many shade. All right, so Maya and Sony, wondering if you all would think it makes sense for us to launch a public campaign as a public interest group to send emails and calls and letters, et cetera, to whoever you think would be would be ideal recipient from the officers or General House of Representatives. I see on the UTLA website, there's a pretty decent amount of contact information there in terms of email and phone number and so on. We can mobilize people as concerned members of the society, some living in LA, some outside, but we can, you know, really fill in their inboxes and message line if that is helpful in any way.
I would say it definitely wouldn't hurt. I know a lot of the support letters for me were received. I got a text from one of my area representatives who said she's been receiving a lot of support mail for me. She was on the email list that we put together for people. So, you know, just the fact that she reached out and told me that, it helped me a little bit to realize, okay, you know, there's definitely support coming in. And I think the other side obviously is writing a lot of letters to the leadership. I mean, these so-called hundreds of letters that are coming in, that's all being organized. Even a form letter that we get a lot of people to sign could help. And then, you know, more broadly speaking, just building on public opinion, like I think Kelly mentioned, you know, posts on social media or maybe even blogs. I know a lot of that the blogs are labor intensive, but I think maybe if LA Jews for Peace did have a blog out there that's circulating, supporting the LA teachers and the motion, that could be good.
We could do a petition.
Yeah.
That would be good. I know that they have a petition and a form letter asking people to vote against the motion. And it's really just been a lot of, like, you know, folks seeing how powerful Zionists are within and outside the union has scared a lot of people into the shadows. So, you know, again, like the more public people are, I think the more it normalizes this for people to even talk about.
Yeah, you know, one problem that teachers have is, you know, they're afraid if they tackle a controversial issue, you know, they'll lose, they'll get fired, or, you know, they won't get tenure.
I wonder what Jackie Goldberg has to say. No, she's for the Palestinians.
I also just want to reiterate something that Sonny was saying. I think petitions sound really great. Everyone here is really experienced, and just sitting in on this call has helped me a lot. Dick, you mentioned something that was great in regards to how, you know, folks are going for character assassination and are not talking about certain things. And it would be great to have the experience that you all bring to be in these social media posts, to be in these articles, to be in these podcasts. I know that we were talking about KPFK, to allow for this conversation to even happen, to allow for UTLA members and teachers to think critically about this. As Maya was saying, you have people who are trying to dominate the conversation and then ultimately allow everyone else to remain ignorant, because then everyone else is too afraid to say anything. And we can really use your experience in, you know, reframing things, noticing when someone and noticing when groups are trying to change the conversation and focus on something else instead of the need for continuing democratic and critical conversations, along with the need to, you know, humanize our students, continue to fight for social justice alongside this critical thought, and having greater context. Having a conversation about how this exists within a conversation of ethnic studies and CRT as well.
Dick, you got your hand up?
Well, I just had one more very minor thing. I write a regular weekly column. It's on city planning issues, but it's called City Watch LA. It's not quite an open forum, but they have a much greater range of opinion than the LA Times. And I'm happy to forward if any of the teachers want to write a, you know, 750 words, 1,000 words. I'm sure I can, I'm not the publisher or the editor, but they usually publish whatever I send them by other people. So I'm happy to give you that help to get it published there.
Marcy, maybe you want to write an article for Howie.
Sure.
Also,
Howie has a blog, Down with Tyranny. Somebody should write for LA Progressive. I'm not sure it should be me, but somebody.
It can't be me. I don't like them because they publish anything. But,
oh, come on. Dick and Sharon do a good job.
You know, maybe Skills would do it. Robert Skills.
And Robert Shearer would do something. But how, if you and Medea could write something for Howie, he would love that.
I'll write something.
Whatever you write, it can be reposted on LA.
But I kind of would like to know, are they going to be voting on both those resolutions? Maya, do you know?
I'll actually defer to Michael on this one. I'm not on the House of Reps. So count me out, but I'll probably go with some snacks.
So what I do know is there, when a motion gets brought to all the different areas, we try really hard to keep the same motion and not take friendly amendments. So then we, avoid all of this. And then what often ends up happening is they refer it to one of the committees and then we never see it again. So I think, I don't know about this other motion. I was hearing about that just now today. Another Maya or Sonny or Kelly, another like similar, not competing, but a similar motion passed in a different.
Yeah, there were two. So there were two motions that came out the same time and moment. So again, I mean, this speaks to folks think it's like just me and Sony and our like crazy Hamas agenda, but you know, there were a lot of people in on this, obviously, because none of us even wrote them. One of them went to West Area, and the one Sony brought went to West Area, and it went to Central, and it passed in Central, and it was defeated in West. The one that I brought was sent to me and was brought in Harbor, South, North, and East, and passed in all four of those areas. The Valley did not bring the motions, but interestingly has the most to say on them, to the point where sometimes I'm like, maybe someone should just bring the motion to your area so you guys can discuss and vote on it. But that's where a lot of the backlash has been centered, is from the Valley.
Well, I wonder if Brad Sherman's got anything to do with this. He's very tight with the Israeli embassy. Just saying.
I think they would.
The question. Maya and Sony, is it all right if looking at this video, if I use some clips for it from it from tonight?
I would rather you didn't, largely just because I'm trying to rest this summer.
Oh, because so you're
Sony.
You're both terrific.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. What would they be used for?
Oh, I would send them to you first, but. Just for an article, you know, the video, people like to see what's going on here. Who are these people?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind. I mean, to me, at this point, yeah, I need to be out there and have my message heard. Otherwise, you know, the other side controls the narrative. So,
yeah.
If you send it to me first, I'm not going to leave Sony out there on his own.
Okay. Can we just see a short clip?
Is there more discussion?
I'd like to bring up a strategy.
Yeah, I know.
This is especially for Sony. I think we need to organize the speakers who are going to speak in favor of the motion. They get 3 minutes each. And we ought to divide up the tremendous amount of basic knowledge that's missing from this discussion nationwide. Even Israelis don't really know what's going on. All of this is, according to Gideon Levy, Israelis don't know what's happening to the Palestinians. when an Israeli settler shoots somebody, you know, it doesn't make the Israeli press. At any rate, it would be good to split up the speaking tours in a way that brings out a lot of basic information. There's a lot of, you know, really basic stuff that's missing from all of this. I think people should be instantly horrified when they know that it's sort of open season on shooting Palestinians and taking their houses and stuff like that. I mean, just outrageous human rights information that's not out there, you know. And all of the studies that have been done on the apartheid system by Jimmy Carter, no less, and that the professor whose name I always forget, from who's now up at Santa Barbara, who spent 12 years as a UN reporter.
Richard Falk.
Richard Falk. Yeah, I called Dick to help me remember the name before. The Richard Falk's report on 12 years of what's on the Zionist attempt to erase the Palestinians, you know, bring up stuff like Golda Meir, who actually said one time, "What Palestinians? There are no Palestinians. It's just a made up name for a bunch of Arabs." You know, so we ought to divide up the speaking chores so each of us brings up basic data. We're out there to inform.
I totally agree. And I think as we're doing that, that could be the basis for a blog. So people, you know, are prepared for, we just get support beforehand, you know.
Yeah, line up speakers. We need to line up speakers. I'll probably be a delegate to that meeting. So I want to outline my 3 minutes.
We have several people on the call who haven't contributed. Charlie, Linda.
Yeah, actually, sorry. Sorry for being late. I actually had a question. I don't know if this is helpful or not, but there's like a fairly small but pretty awesome union in Israel that organizes Palestinian workers on settlements. They've done strikes, and they're for a single democratic state at this point, which is a very courageous position for them to take. Do you want to be connected with them? They might endorse the resolution.
I mean, that just sounds pretty awesome, people to learn from. So
also forget the union leaders. It's members like you who are the labor movement, right? And same with Mon. Like maybe Hatem, one of the leaders, this really heroic leader of the strike at a mechanic shop in Mishor Adumim. He speaks Arabic, Hebrew, and I know one of the other people at that shop speaks Spanish because I spoke Spanish, Hebrew and Spanish with them. But maybe some of the work, I mean, when people are speaking.
Very cool. And I'm thinking even a statement from them that someone could read a House of Reps would be extremely persuasive in pulling out the labor connection. And, you know, so many folks are in unions because we see ourselves as part of a family of workers across the world, right? We had international aid and support in our strike. So I think that would be pretty cool to have. I don't know, Michael?
Very strong point.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And Charlie, thanks. I think a big part of the pushback outside of the organized Zionist, you know, attempts to, you know, squash this is going to be regular teachers saying, what does this have to do with our education union? Like, why we're flexing too far. And I think the more we can make the connection that those tax dollars that are dropping on Palestine, like that's our education money that could be supporting our students here, you know? So I think whether it's fellow labor organizers, or the more we can bring it back to issues that teachers who maybe aren't consumed by the Israel-Palestine issue can like sink their teeth in. They can learn, like you were saying, I think it was Bill, to educate people, and then they can make that connection that this is a labor issue and this is an education issue. I think those are gonna be, those, as you guys are strategizing, those are the two things that I was thinking about. And, you know, as a House of Reps member, I would love to help kind of organize talking points and learn from you guys and make sure that we hit all of them in the debate.
I'll connect you with mine.
Dick and Judy, who's another member of LA Jews for Peace, and I will write a statement of support, which we will send to Michael, Sony, and Maya. And we'll do that within a week. Is that okay, Dick?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
And Judy, is that okay with you too? Well, she's not talking. Okay, there are still two more people who haven't said anything. Marsha and
Daryl,
Linda.
This is Marsha. So I'm also a member of Jewish Voice for Peace Los Angeles. I'm on their education visibility, and I'm a Christian minister, and so I do a lot of work with Christian communities, and so I'm very interested in everything that you've said, and I'm just appalled, as one of you said. You would think that all of the information that we're giving would just horrify people, but it doesn't. I don't understand it. You know, I get responses like, well, it's just too complicated. And, you know, there's one person who says, well, shouldn't we give Israel the benefit of the doubt? And I wanted to respond and say that would happen during the Holocaust, that Hitler was given the benefit of the doubt, you know, by Christians. You know, it just, so I'm doing what I can, particularly in Christian communities, to say, you know, this is not the way Christians behave, and, you know, the Palestinians, and then also the segregated areas, you know, the dark-skinned Jews, you know, I bring all of this stuff up, and, you know, Arab Palestinian Christians, and I'm just, I serve on the United Church of Christ National Steering Committee for Palestine-Israel Network, and so we have a national organization, but boy, here in Southern California, I just am having problems getting a group together that will work on this. So I really value these conversations, and I'm sorry that I bring such sad news right now. I'm horrified by the attitude of my Christian communities that I communicate with.
Marsha, a letter to us of support of this resolution on your letterhead would be really helpful, I'd guess.
Well, we have a resolution that's coming up at our National Synod for United Church of Christ. And then I stay in touch with Jeff Wright, who's on the Disciples of Christ National Palestine-Israel Network. I know Jeff because he's who I went to Palestine Israel with, we have a resolution at our synod, and we do have like Claremont UCC and the Carlsbad UCC in Southern California have supported this resolution, and I've sent it to, you know, just all kinds of churches, and so at least there is support, and hopefully it will get passed. This is the second resolution. We did one, I think, back in, let's see, going back to maybe 2019. But this, you know, this is, you know, just giving more information about the plight and, you know, you know, the cry for hope, et cetera, et cetera, all of those documents. So I hope that will have an impact.
Linda, do you have anything to add? Is there any other discussion?
Jeff, what did you ask me? I had the sound off for a second, and then I couldn't get to my mute fast enough. So what did you ask me?
You, Dick, and I are going to write a letter to to Michael expressing our support of the resolution.
Go ahead, Jeff.
LA Jews for Peace.
Yeah, okay, you go ahead. You can do it.
Okay, do we have continuing discussion? If not, let me just review once again what's coming up. And so next Monday night, we have Maurice Jacobson on his film, We All Live in Gaza. 2 weeks beyond that is The Present. It was a 25-minute film that was an Academy Award contender. Plus a message from the filmmaker. 2 weeks beyond that, on Sunday morning, we have Sammy Smuha from the University, Emeritus from the University of Haifa, talking about Palestinian and Jewish citizens' identity. With that and with no further discussion, I will call this meeting over, and with the promise that Dick, Judy, and I will write a statement which we'll send to Michael in support of this resolution. And we'll, if you guys organize a 10-week plan, we'll do our part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, thank you, everybody. Take care.
Thank you for having us.
You're more than welcome.
Yes.